evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Half Ashed. My name is Craig Schneider. That gentleman 1,800 miles southeast of me is none other than my favorite expat, Mr. Kip Fisher. How are you, my good man?
Happier than a puppy with two peckers.
That's always colorful, Kip. Very colorful. It is the 15th day of June 2018, and for those insightful, inquiring minds, yes, we are recording 1 week late, and yes, you guessed it, it is my fault, but we're here, so put a sock in it. You're getting us now. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, it's all about perspective. If you just reconsider and think maybe we canceled last week, we're actually recording a week early.
Oh, I like this guy. I'm going to call you Kip the Gray from now on.
I'm very optimistic.
That is true. But have we established, are you crabby tonight or no?
No. I feel myself getting that way.
Should I ask you for a fifth time or was four enough? I'm not quite sure. I love seeing Kip lose his cool. Salty Kip is everybody's favorite type.
I haven't had any cool in 20 years.
Really? 20?
Yeah.
5? 20?
Okay, just 5. I was cool 5 years ago.
All right. We are coming to you live for the 181st time. It's the 15th of June. As I said, we are happy to be here. We are happy to be alive. We are very happy to be alive. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready for a show. I have had a week that has done nothing for me except make me look forward to this. So how about you?
I've had a pretty lax week myself, actually. I had nothing to complain about. Classes wrapped up, kids wrapped up with their school, and Christy finished today. She's done for the summer.
Is she finished for her teaching or for her schooling?
Oh, no, she's actually for her schooling, for her master's degree. She will continue through the summer, but she's done teaching until August.
Well, that's good at least. I mean, she cuts her workload significantly, I hope.
Yeah. One would hope.
Yeah. Zen Man being comfortable or comfortable, colorful in the chat room already. Making fun of Americans, insulting our intelligence. I see how it is. Well, we are here, and I suppose before it goes too terribly long, we should probably say that tonight is an unbanded night.
It is. And this one is supplied by Michael F. I'll protect his privacy. It happens to be a relative of yours. You've already disclosed that on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a very fine, corruptible young gentleman. My cousin Mike, who I don't know, but I would venture to at least claim that I had a hand in bringing him to the dark side here. I don't know if he developed the love of cigars on his own and I just kind of watered that passion or if I planted the seed, but maybe he can chime in the chat room. Either way, he is a cousin of mine. We both share the love of cigars. We share cigars from time to time, and he was so kind to share these with us tonight.
Cool. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I echo that. So what we're smoking here is what looks to be a pretty typical Robusto that just shy of 5 inches and right around 50 ring. Direct measurements of these came in about 4 7/8 and about 49 ring. Mine was a little bit less than 50, and I believe yours was as well.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, let's entertain the folks, shall we? I'll put it on the 50 ring thing and spin the wheel of fortune. So you can tell it's definitely a little bit thinner than that 50.
But now that there was broadcast gold. I mean, our audio listeners just missed it.
The however many are in the chat room, five guys in the chat room, eight guys in the chat room are crying with joy after seeing such beautiful things right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Ah, so we have a cigar we know very little about. We know the size. We haven't really talked at all about the appearance, but I'm going to say that this thing is incredibly oily, probably just shy of a Colorado color, and it looks a little rustic to me.
The rustic appearance, just to clarify for anybody listening, that word sometimes has implications beyond maybe what I think you mean. Like, mine is very well put together, but the rustic appearance seems like it's this main vein that's running through the thing that kind of gives it that wrinkled appearance. It's not shoddily built, if that's what some folks may interpret a rustic to be.
Yeah, you are interpreting my intention appropriately there. The wrapper leaf appears to have some vein to it. As I had said for anyone on the live broadcast before we started recording this for the podcast, the Chivette looked as if it was a little dull or maybe sharp or short, because you can very kind of clearly see when looking at the cut edge of the face, you can clearly see a line where one cut started and one cut stopped and another one started. So it's, I don't know, just some characteristics like that. But the oil is just oozing. I can literally rub my finger on it, and then my fingertips just feel coated afterwards.
Yeah, there's no way I could ever get this camera to focus. But in person, you can see the oil being chased by the burn line. There's just a little.
Oh, can you really? I didn't notice that. Oh, wow. Wow, that's really dang cool. Yeah, you can. Wow, that's rare. I guess I don't really look for that on regular cigar or normally on my cigars, but it is definitely here.
Huh. And can I tell you, can you look at how perfect this burn is on this Joker?
Yeah, you know, I'm noticing something completely different on mine. Mine's not a bad burn by any stretch of the imagination, but I have what looks like tooth in my ash. And yours didn't appear to have that. I don't know if you can make that out or not, but you can just see some of the bright white speckles on there. Maybe you can't, but...
Those... the Oliva Maduro, Siri V Maduro, I remember some of those being the toothiest cigars I've ever seen, and the ash would commonly look like that.
I wish I could explain that a little bit better. I wonder if it's just little pockets of minerals that don't combust or what.
I don't know. Or pores in the leaf or something. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess to tag on to that, the wrapper itself doesn't appear to really have any tooth on here. Or maybe it's just super minuscule.
Yeah, I don't see or feel anything that I would call tooth. I can see light bouncing off the little, like the little guard hairs of the leaf. Some of those are in place, but I don't see what I would call tooth.
Well, anyways, I think all appearance aside, the only other item of note was kind of how this cigar smelled or tasted when I had some cold draws before lighting it up. It was unexpected. It reminded me of something that was not of the cigar world. It was lighter. It was almost like it didn't remind me of this, but to cast an analogy of what I'm referring to, it was almost like walking into a cedar closet, like where it was this very strong aromatic smell that was similar to something that you would expect but not necessarily like, oh, I'm going to get a repeat here. Hold on. Sorry. I don't know if you guys can hear this or not.
Mm-hmm.
I went back into the chat room and it opened up the replay. So anyways, it just, it was very reminiscent of something else when I was taking that cold draw. So, and I enjoyed it, but it was not cigar-like. So, it has changed from here, and I'm going to try to get back to the chat. Pardon me. I'm not nearly good enough to do two things at once. Okay, we're going to give that a whirl and that. Sorry, audio listeners. I'm bad at podcasting. you get what you pay for. So that's about it. That's my only other takeaway from this that I thought was of note. It was a very unique, un-cigar-like pre-light taste.
Hmm. I'll say okay to that. I did not actually perceive a great deal of taste in the cold draw, but I'm digging the crap out of it now that it's lit.
So, do you have any comments regarding dry taste off this cigar or not, or dry sensation?
No, it was a little dusty, a dusty kind of feel to it when I would draw through it cold. And there was not, for me, not a lot of aroma on the wrapper or the foot either.
I actually did not. That was surprising. The cigar actually tasted better with a full puff, which is rare. I usually like little sips. Wow, that was really interesting. I'm going to try that again. Yeah, wow, that's strange.
Zedman has made a guess.
I don't even understand. How could he possibly make a guess?
I don't know. And how that happens to be the guess is that's pretty far out there.
That's real far out there. Huh. Well, opening flavors. What are we getting with opening flavors? Do you have anything of note?
Yeah, you mentioned the citrus, and that struck a chord with me. It actually reminds me a lot of the same citrus without so much. It's not so tart as it is sweet to me, and it reminds me a lot of the sun-grown wrapper that the Fuentes use on some of their sun-grown lines.
Oh, interesting.
But on my first few puffs, it was very different until the cigar settled in. Now it's good. This is gone, but the first few minutes, it had this flavor that kind of dabbled on being vegetal, but didn't really cross that line. And it was one of those things that it was entirely pleasant to me of its own merit, but also because it reminded me so much of when I first started smoking Nicaraguan cigars. I got a lot of that kind of flavor, but this doesn't have the same burn to it on a retrohale as that, but it was that quality of flavor from years ago that I really appreciated at the time. And I dug it.
Man, I can't get over how beautiful that burn looks on your cigar.
It really is.
Inch and a quarter. It is razor sharp.
I haven't even touched it up or anything. This is just au natural. Just lit it and let it go. And it draws spectacularly. It's like a Goldilocks draw for me.
It's a little bit tight on the draw for me, but it does not have any bit of reduced smoke production. So it's not really anything that I have issue with. On the pre-light, when I was testing it out, I thought that the draw was a little more resistance than I would like. But frankly, if it's smoking perfectly like this, I couldn't care less. So, so I'm gonna say that kind of citrusy flavor that I was just quipping about earlier is almost more in line with like a floral sensation too. And I say that because it's not the typical sweet, and it's not the typical tart that you'll get with that Nicaraguan citrus or Cuban citrus. It's a little bit more reminiscent of when cigars are transitioning. So I hesitate to say when a cigar's gone sick, because I don't think that that's the case. I'm getting other flavors here, and this is not soapy and it's not unappealing, but there is a transitional flavor that I think across the board cigars can go through. And it's not reminiscent of their blend. It's just reminiscent of the stage the tobacco is at, where all tobacco, no matter where it's from, seems like it can have this common flavor when it's just breaking down. So I'm getting a little bit of that, and it's coming across as citrusy and florally. There's a little bit of like maybe it's because it's a bit dry, but there's a little bit of like a cocoa flavor in there as well. And I think that that kind of bitterness is kind of riding the coattails of that transitional flavor, the typical bitterness that you'd get from cocoa, though I'm not really high on cocoa as in like a chocolatey flavor. It's more of that cocoa powder, but not super, super dark and rich. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm sitting with this on opening flavors. And I am maybe just over a half an inch. You are further along than I.
Yeah, I'm pretty well into it at this point.
So.
You know.
I like it. So the guests, for posterity's sake, the guests in the chat room was from Zedman, and it was, what was it? Oh, the Humo Jaguar. And he's driving that on the weekends, apparently.
Actually, that Humo Jaguar is two different cigars, if I remember right. It was made originally maybe by Rocky Patel for the festival by the same name, and then later made by someone else, seems like, or maybe vice versa. But I'm pretty sure that cigar was made at least twice by two different manufacturers.
You know, I know a lot of useless BS, but you never cease to amaze me with the crap that you know, too.
Well, here's the thing. I only halfway know it because I don't really remember the details. Just something fuzzy that makes me think of that.
Maybe tumor-addled?
Yeah, that's what we'll go with. I'll blame the tumor.
Yeah, I hear you got a tumor now.
What?
News to you?
Yeah. Does my doctor know?
All right. We got any news stories we want to jump into regarding your good friend and mine, Senor Fernandez?
Senor Fernandez.
Because you do, we should remind everybody to stick around. It's going to be another fun night of conversation and water. No rum tonight.
Wait, water? Drinking canned water?
I am drinking La Croix.
I encountered a visitor here, an American who refused to drink anything else. And it's not easy to find that stuff here.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's this is a holdover from last week's family gathering at our house. I'm trying to get rid of it to make room in our refrigerator because we have so much crap still. All right, so come join us as we move into news.
I am going to knock this ash off before I knock this ash off. it's still smoking beautifully. You know, this is going to sound a little weird. I'm not making a guess, but this reminds me of the initial unfinished 3 years before they were released, Casa Cuba.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It really does, especially with that more aggressive start that quickly kind of subdued for me. It's what it reminds me of at this point.
Wow, that is high praise, even if it's unintended.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you waxed poetically about those Casacubas so much so.
I did.
I mean, I geeked out over them when I first saw them here. I mean, that might be the last cigar that I absolutely lost my mind over when it came out.
The last, like you're never going to let it happen again, or the last time it has occurred?
The last time that it's occurred. I don't know. I bought in hook, line, and sinker, not literally. So I guess that's a figurative statement, but I dug those cigars. Was so excited when I first saw them.
Yeah. And when they were first handed out at CFC and then subsequently, and I think it really was 3 years, 2 years or 3 years later, they hit the market. And initially they had an additional band that said pre-release because those were declared to be the cigars that were rolled back when the first ones were handed out, but never made it to market because of packaging arguments and wishy-washiness or whatever. And then after that, that pre-release band was dropped as the new production came to order. You know, those secondary bands were to mark that those were the ones that had 2-3 years on them before they made it on the store shelves. But to me, they were very different. The ones we were given at CFC were different than the ones that came out as the pre-release, and those were different from the ones that came out later down the road. To me, I enjoyed all of them, and I don't know which may be my favorite, but I think it was those first ones. I don't know if it was simply a matter of the time involved and the time that had passed between rolling and making them on the store shelves or what, but it's just my opinion. Make it yours.
So for guest number two in the chat room, we have what seems to be a pretty legitimate thought, and that is that this could be a cane Daytona. I have to say, I don't like the canes.
But I
enjoy the Daytonas.
Same here. I like.
Now that was a motorcycle. Now that's a knife.
That was not a motorcycle. That was a Jeep Grand Cherokee. I'm not teasing. The guy comes through here every night. My stinking street where he turns onto it to where he turns off of it is all of 100 yards, and he does that every night. Not that I'm bitter or shaking my fist or anything.
Sorry, I'm trying to insult Deadman in the chat room.
I totally lost track of what we were even talking about.
Cane Daytona.
Yeah, I like the Cane Daytona. I don't know that I've ever smoked anything like a Robusto. I always got that 6x46.
Yeah. The 6x46 Corona Extra.
Yeah.
I hate these guys. Yeah. All right. So, Cane Daytona seems reasonable.
It does. I would be more reserved. I would not make that guess right now at this point. I don't know. It seems a little different to me, but it is certainly reasonable.
Yeah. I think for now, when we're throwing darts at a board, it's not a terrible idea to have marked at least.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's putting off a lot of smoke off the foot, and I just set it down and leaned over it. Well, that's a mistake. All right.
So the Cane Daytona, is it predominantly Jalapa? I don't remember the blend on that.
You know, gosh, it has been years for me, but we could find that out. I hear these great new answer type machines that are at our disposal.
Papa Googly.
Papa Google. It's got to be a Dominican thing.
It absolutely is.
So I want to get back, as I'm again showing my lack of skills as a podcaster. I am trying to look up information about the Daytona while we're talking.
There it is. This the cane Daytona is a Daytona is a Nicaraguan puro made entirely of Cuban seed, longleaf ligeros from the Jalapa Valley.
Jalapen.
I was going to say that is the thing that ties it in there to me, because that little bit of sweet citrus, nutty kind of leathery flavor almost in there. That's what I think of with Jalapa a lot of times.
It is a 5x50, it says, for a Robusto. But anyways, well, that's just one thing. So I wanted to go back before we got too far gone and ask if you had even had a Casa Cuba in the 3 years since you've been down there.
Only the ones I brought with me, and that's now been close to 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I've not purchased one here. And come to think of it, I've lost my Fuente-ness, I suppose. I cannot bring myself to buy Fuente cigars in this country. I buy them when I go back to Florida.
They're going to be on a bender next month.
The Fuente factory is all of maybe 6 miles from my house, but the Fuente cigars here cost double or more what they do in Florida, and I just can't do it.
You need to legitimately make friends with Carlito so you can just get his cast-offs.
I saw him last week.
Yeah, at school?
Yeah, the Hartsfield's daughter graduated high school, and Carlito's son also was in that graduating class, so I saw him at the graduation.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I often wonder what the cigar personalities actually are in real life, because they so have to be a cigar personality in professional life. It's interesting to me.
Yeah. It is peculiar to see folks in other settings that you only know from cigar things.
Mm-hmm.
But they put their pants on both legs at the same time like everybody else.
Do you put your pants legs on both at the same time?
No.
You weirdo.
Yeah, I just hold them and jump into them.
I jump real fast. Ay. You know, we still have this boring story about AJ Fernandez we can read.
Oh, we actually have two.
I know. I saw the second one, too. I'm actually intrigued by the first one. I think this is an interesting conversation.
It is, and it's been kind of in the back of my mind all along, but it became more prominent in the front of my mind after kind of getting a little more information in the past couple of weeks. And the tie here, as Craig mentions, with AJ Fernandez, I don't want to say taken over, but he has assumed manufacturing for at least some portion of the Ramon Ayones line, the general line, the non-Cuban version, of course. And we talked about this several months ago, last fall, last winter, somewhere around there, that this was going to happen. But now it's kind of coming to fruition. The cigars are shipping and landing. And so he reached this arrangement with General, and some of you are probably familiar with the non-Cuban Ramon Ayones, but maybe a lot are not, because it's not, since many years ago, it's not been a super prominent line in their portfolio. It's not something I think I've ever in my life had a conversation about sitting in a cigar shop. Any of 100 other brands, yes, but this. No, I don't see many people smoking them. I don't see people buying them. I don't think it's a huge success story for them. But anyway, he took over production for this. So, you know, at the time I thought, oh, that's kind of a neat story. AJ Fernandez is a good guy. He's successful. He's got a big following. he has what I call a core strength, where most of his cigars have some similarity. I'm certainly not saying they're all the same. They're not. But there is something intangible, or maybe even tangible, in AJ's blends that come across as being similar. And he is the only brand that I will say 95% of the time, if you give me an unbanded AJ Fernandez, I can at least guess that came out of his factory, because I think there's enough similarity that I can pick up on that most of the time. Challenge the overwhelming extended. Majority. Huh?
Challenge extended.
I have been tested on this and been successful so far. But anyway, so I've been wondering how this is going to play out. So, as I mentioned, it shares a name with one of Craig's favorite Cuban marks, Cuban brands, Ramon Ayones, but maybe doesn't have the same following, the same success as the Cuban marca. And so I thought maybe this will kind of breathe some new life into that line. Maybe it'll revive something that maybe hadn't been the best selling line in a number of years. And I thought, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And I've been waiting to see. So the cigars are now making their way out. They've shipped and they're landing. And so I put in the notes that unless AJ has departed from that AJ Fernandez-ness that I'm calling his core blending style, unless he's strayed from that, I don't know that I personally would reach for these. And the reason is they're retailing in the $12 to $15 range, which is not unheard of. There's plenty of cigars on the market in that range. But I also know that for this core set of flavors, for this family of flavors, or this stream of his blending style, that I can buy the New World for half that price and get a similar experience. So, I don't know if they're going to be able to revive the marca into more prominence with that approach. It's kind of difficult for me to see taking over a line that has maybe faded a little bit from its glory days and reviving it with a launch that is in that upper echelon of pricing. So I don't know. I'm interested to see. And I also put in those, I'm not even really sure why I'm interested in this story, just kind of anxious to see how it shakes out. But as far as the details go, the cigar itself is going to have an Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro wrapper over Nicaraguan Corojo 99 binder and a filler mix of wide-ranging Nicaraguan tobaccos, actually from several different regions. Going to be in four Vitolas, Robusto, Toro, Churchill, Torpedo. But yeah, I don't know how this is going to play out. I just want to see what's going to happen, really.
I sense some hesitancy from you to kind of call a spade a spade, not so much in a negative way, but in just reality. You get a common thread that runs through AJ's stuff. And I'm a little unsure why that is. Why are you a little hesitant to say that? Because it's not really a disrespectful thing.
No, not at all. There's actually a number of his cigars I do enjoy.
I
find something very similar in everything that has his name attached to it. And the reason I'm hesitating is because it's not something that's unpleasant to me. I don't intend for it to be a dig, but I know as soon as I speak so clearly and plainly, somebody's going to say, well, Kip said all AJ cigars are the same. and that's not at all what I mean. There are similarities. I think I can pick them out the overwhelming majority of the time blindly, but I enjoy many of them.
I can understand your trepidation, though I find it to be a little... Perhaps I think that you're not the only one with that opinion, and so I think that it's a safe thing for you to come out and say. And the reason why I bring this up is because I actually think that it's an AJ Fernandez wheelhouse, that he knows that he can work with this tobacco because it's exceptionally good tobacco. And so I don't think he makes this decision to have a lot of his blends have a little bit of homogeny. Homogeny? Is that a word? We're going to make it a word. Oh, now I think you're getting greedy. I would imagine that AJ's perspective is that, yeah, I've got this great tobacco, and it does a really good job of highlighting a flavor profile that I really like and that I've had a lot of success with. And I would say that that's probably his perspective. and it's a mindset that I think the boutique trend that cigars really traveled through over the last 10 years might have cast a little bit of an unfair light onto. I don't think there's anything wrong with having some common threads in your cigars, as long as you know that, and as long as it's not necessarily something that you're lying about. You know, if you claim that this Ramonionis was from all Dominican Republic and it was brand new tobacco that you had ever worked with, but it tastes just like the San Latano, then people are going to start scratching their heads and questioning your integrity. But my guess is that the reason why there is a common thread is because he has access to a tobacco which is incredibly flavorful, unique to him, at a good price point, and works well, marries well with a lot of other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I used to really
like... Sorry, a lot of other tobacco, not people.
Yeah. Well, I thought you meant for a lot of people. You remember when we first started this show, we smoked the Cuenca 5?
Our first show, yeah.
That was one of his cigars that I absolutely adored. And I've had good results from one of the myriad diesel lines that word diesel seems to show up on dozens of different lines of cigars these days. The New World.
New World, that's what I was looking for.
The New World, when it came out, became an instant classic for me at that time. For probably a year, year and a half, I smoked an absolute crap ton of that cigar. I bought boxes of them and just went through them. That became my regular smoke at that time. And then one day, either I changed or the cigar changed. I don't know which. But it became such that it seemed to me the strength had strongly overtaken the flavor for me. And I don't know why that was. They did not seem nearly so strong for that first year, year and a half. And then suddenly it was like, okay, they're not killing me, but I'm going to move on to something else. The strength is not, or the flavor is not worth the strength anymore for me. And so I kind of got away from the New World, even though I had adored them for a long time. They just didn't do it for me. The last box I bought, I plowed through, but I don't think I ever looked back after that.
I'd be curious if you experience that in one box or if you experience that over the course of multiple boxes.
That's a good question. I only remember the one box, but I bought that the first year we were down here. I'd ordered it and had someone bring it to me, and I don't think I've ever bought them again since.
Oh, wow.
But what's that other one? The Cuenca 5 I love, but those I believe are probably long gone by now.
Southern Draw.
That was my next point, was that is one. He makes the Southern Draw cigars for Robert Holt. And I'm going to assume it's Robert's presence in the blending process. But those are a little bit, maybe still identifiable as an AJ Fernandez cigar, but maybe not always. But there's a little different. Those that Pennsylvania broadleaf that we smoked recently is different to me. It does, they don't have the same bite as most AJ blends for me. That same crisp burn through the nose if you aggressively retrohale it. Hmm. They're still potent. I mean, for a small cigar, they're plenty strong. But they're less identifiable to me than most anything else with his name attached to it.
Have you smoked the Kudzu?
I have. I think I have. With the exception of the cigars he's put out in the past 12 months, I think I've smoked his lineup.
So I'm curious if you find the Kudzu to be a little bit more in line with typical AJ.
I don't know that I remember enough about it to speak intelligently.
I don't necessarily remember something that was analogous to all of his other cigars. But how you're describing the common slight abrasiveness, if you're going to aggressively retrohale, that's how I remember the Kudzu. So it's almost I'm having some sort of a recollection based upon a shared experience, which is always dangerous, but that's how I remember the Kudzu, how you're describing his typical others.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't know. I will differ from you a little bit and say that a lot of the Southern draws do seem to have a common flavor profile with some of AJ's other stuff. Namely, I think that there's a variant there, that it is a variant basically of the San Latano. I think there's a lot in common with Southern Draw and San Latano.
Mm. The original San Latano, he put that out in a couple of different wrappers subsequently.
Yeah, Habano and I think there. Yeah, it was a Maduro. It was a Habano, Maduro, and then I think he subsequently did a Connecticut, didn't he?
I believe you're right.
Yeah. I dug the crap out of that Maduro, I believe.
That I like the Habano, and I will tell you the person responsible for me enjoying the Habano was Liz.
Liz, oh, really? McDuffie.
Yeah, she loved them, and she gave me one time, and I really liked it. And I ended up buying quite a number of those from Sean over at Tranquilo Cigars, where we had the dog watcher.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Colorado next month. I'm gonna try to get in touch with Dale, catch up with him.
Cool.
Hope he's doing well.
I do too. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Yeah, he and I communicated a little bit over email earlier this year a few times, and otherwise I haven't talked to him since probably, I'm going to guess it was fall last year, the last he and I talked. That's nuts. Yeah. And where does the time go?
Bob's birthday's coming up, and his birthday in July.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. I think I actually have an alarm on my phone for it, believe it or not.
I think I do too.
Damn, I miss the dog watch days. No, you want to know what I miss more than anything?
What's that?
I discovered dog watch when they were probably on episode 60, I'll say. That was when I met Bob and Dale, when Dale spilled his drink on me. when Bob spilled his drink on me. And I remember that first month when I could sit at my desk at work, slam out my projects that I was working on, all while just going hour after hour after hour of dog watch episodes. I mean, there was about a month when all I did was spend every minute of my time at my desk avoiding talking to other people and just herfing with Bob and Dale when I was at work. It was awesome. That was a pretty damn good time. I bet it was 2005 or 2006. And I miss that. That was probably some of the most fun I've ever had with cigars in my life. Huh. That was fun. It was a real fun time.
Cool. I there were hundreds of episodes I never saw, never heard, and they've been taken down now. Bob hasn't kept them posted.
Not every episode, but hundreds upon hundreds of them have been offered to me. by one of our listeners, if you would ever have any interest in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will gladly put you in touch with this gentleman.
Coolio.
All right. What do you say we move on to our next AJ-centric?
Okie dokie. Well, yeah, since we're on the topic, AJ's got something new coming down the pike, which I suppose is newish since nothing new's coming out. I imagine this was shipped in very small quantities to a very small number of retailers about a year ago. What is it, 2 years ago now? Anyway, we've talked about that enough, hundreds of times, seems like. But when I was at the show at IPCPR in 2016, the Bella Artes, or Bella Artes, as I hear a lot of folks say, was AJ's new release that year. And it was just on fire. I mean, I wrote into the notes that I could, conversationally, I could not get away from that cigar. Everybody I talked to was chatting about that. It was the star of the show for countless people. And I smoked one at the show, and I've had a couple since. I actually can find those here on occasion, and I've bought a couple of them over the past 3 years. I put in here that I found it to be one of his cigars that appealed to me more than most, but not life-changing. And what that means is I really enjoyed it. It was a good smoke, better than good. It was better than average, but it was not a Cuenca 5 for me. It didn't kick that out of its position in my broken memory of mind. It still falls within his core. What's that word? Milieu. It falls in his milieu and his strengths and his normal production and how he blends, but a little bit lighter, a little bit sweeter maybe than most of those. But anyway, he's putting out a Maduro version this year, and it'll be presented at the show, I guess, to be ordered by anyone, not just the few folks to get it in under that August deadline a couple of years back. It's going to have a Brazilian Modafina wrapper, and I put it here. There's a blast from the past, from the dog watch days. That Brazilian wrapper was a lot about what we talked about with Monte Pascal and what was the other one? Doña something. I can't remember.
Oh.
The other Brazilian brand.
Yeah, what was the other one? Was it Donna Flor? Doña Flor?
No, it wasn't Flor, was it? I don't know. A Brazilian cigar company that I have not heard hide nor hair of in 2 or 3 years now.
For some reason, I feel like they had a tie to Monte Pascual.
They did. They shared some distribution or something for a while.
Yeah. Gosh, that's going to drive me crazy.
It's Doña Flor.
It is Doña Flor?
Alonso Menendez.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh, that was them. That was the same company. That was
their
guy that they traced their roots back to, who was a famous Cuban blender, I believe, many, many years before. Anyway. A Brazilian Matafina wrapper, Mexican San Andres binder, which that's neat. That's kind of an interesting composition. I'm not sure I've commonly seen that mix before. And Nicaraguan fillers. It's going to be available in a short Churchill, which is 6x48, that most folks would call a Toro, but their Toro is 6x54 in this line. A Gordo, which usually Gordo kind of evolved as a Vitola name as a 6x60, but this one's 6.5x58. And a Robusto, which is 5.5x52. And they're going to range about the $10 mark. I guess I will try this just because the Bella Artes was good to me. I'm interested really in that that mix, that that Brazilian tobacco and the San Andreas play well together. And I want to see how that goes.
I'm sorry. I was going to make a comment about something that you had said, but then Dan Crouch put something hilarious. I need a minute. Now I don't even remember what the hell you were just talking about.
I'm interested in trying this, but just to see how this wrapper interplays with that Mexican San Andreas binder.
Nope, I got nothing.
Wes. Oh, well. The guy's name was Wes from Monte Pascal.
That's right, it was Wes. Doggone it, I can't remember what I was going to say to you about that. Oh, well.
I guess it's inconsequential.
It is inconsequential. I know. I was going to make a stupid, terrible joke about Gordo. You said apparently Gordo to them is this, and I was going to say, geez, we even know the guy's last name. It's 8 years ago, and half of us weren't even there, and this chat room is getting the guy's home phone number, for Pete's sake. I was going to say Gordo is the name of the fat guy I have on my insulation cruise, but never mind. Anyways, back on track here. Monte Pascual, that Modafina wrapper. The best cigar that I've ever had with Modafina wrapper is, without question, Mike Stewart's Bahia Blend. It is fantastic, and not just because he's a listener, but because that is a cigar that could be marketed and sold and have a lot of success. It's terrific for being South American tobaccos. Really, really terrific.
Yeah, and that Brazilian tobacco, to me, and it's not super common, but it shows up sometimes. It's very polarizing to me. It's rare that there's a cigar that says, oh, we have this Brazilian Montevina, and I just think it's okay. And I either don't ever want another one, or I think it's fantastic. And I don't know why.
Well, do we have – I need to scroll down the notes. Do we have any more – oh, yeah, we've got another news story here. Let's get a little bit into this. This is your bread and butter, and then let's talk about our Unbanded again.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something that actually the news is kind of breaking a little bit early this year. Usually we don't hear about this till late September, early October, but the Oliva Serie V Maduro, which always, well, for 10 years now, has come out in November, December-ish, just before the big Christmas buying season, I suppose. But it's been announced already. It's been kind of disclosed what's coming down the pike for this year, and then kind of a little bit of a change up in that, you know, initially these were like a Bellicoso torpedo kind of shape for 2 or 3 years, and then they were double Robusto for a few years, and then 5 or so years ago they switched to a 6x60, which I never tried, despite the fact that this was probably the most anticipated annual release of a cigar for me for years up until that point. I just didn't, I was not driven to even buy and try the 6x60. Just not my thing. But anyway, this year we're going to have the 6x60 as we have the past 4 years, 5 years. But also we'll be once again producing a 5x54 double Robusto. Typical production, I think, scaled back slightly from the biggest years, right around 60,000 this year. If I remember right, this line topped out at about 80,000 when their biggest year, and down to 30, 35,000 on the smallest. I have not double checked that, but that's what my memory says. I'm going to retail $9 to $10 a piece, which is a little bit higher than they have been in the past, but not a whole lot. Actually, that's pretty well expected. That's a normal normalish increase. Although my favorite store always sold them really cheaply. And that store has been bought out by somebody who will not be doing that, I'm sure. And that really sucks, but okay, whatever. I'm just really excited this year because the double Robusto is coming back, because I'm going to be able to buy this in a size that I happen to enjoy quite a bit. And you wouldn't think the leap from a 54 to a 60 ring is that big, but it makes a big freaking difference to me. I dig that 54.
I wish I liked those cigars. It would be really nice if we had some sort of geeky cigar that we could both go after and be so happy that they were released. But I just don't love them. There's just not much redeeming about them to me, unfortunately.
Well, you can be wrong sometimes.
All right. Well, we're solidly into this cigar now, and I don't know about yours, but mine is burning a hell of a lot slower. Any thoughts?
No, I'm almost done with this. I've blazed right through it. But now, I've been smoking a pipe a lot the last couple of weeks, which typically I smoke much slower than a cigar. So I don't know. I would have guessed that I would be smoking more slowly than normal, but that is not the case.
Mine just really seems to have slowed down. I've touched it up minorly, but it hasn't gone out. I don't know.
My burn waned a little bit, never got wonky, never got crooked, still stayed straight, but it started to fade because I was talking too much. And so I kind of hit it with a lighter for that reason, but the burn, you can see it's still pretty dang straight.
Yeah, mine's pretty good too. I will say that I am getting, at this point, I bet I'm smack dab in the middle of this cigar. No, I am not even at the middle. I am at exactly 3 inches left on this.
Good grief.
It is really, really heavy on that floral citrus transitional flavor. And it's unfortunate for me because I feel like I am not getting what this cigar has to offer. I just don't think that I'm getting as rich and true of a profile as what I had initially thought. And because of that, I'll share that early on in this cigar, right when it was lit, I thought that it had some similarities, coincidentally enough, with a Cuban Ramonionis. I don't know for certain that that's what it was, and I didn't even really think that that was going to be something that I would guess, but I felt that there was a little bit of coincidence there. Some of that sweet nuttiness, almost like almond brittle or something. That's gone for me, but I think that it's gone because I'm getting this transitional flavor that is just taking over. It's not so much decidedly Nicaraguan like it was in that first third. Well after the initial light flavors that I was mentioning, I think that it's a little harder for me to even pinpoint where I think this is coming from. It's smoking well. It's burning fine. Still a little bit of a tighter draw, but I'm getting decent smoke through it. So that's about where I'm at. And I'm hoping that, maybe I'll purge it in a little while, see if that does anything for how it's tasting.
Well, my draw, I explained earlier, was pretty, pretty Goldilocks, pretty perfect. And so to play the part of Bog McDuffie, I would say that's what disqualifies it from being a Cuban Ramonionis. But it's throwing me off, and it's exactly what you're just talking about of being a little bit wishy-washy or a little tentative with even guessing a country of origin, because on its face, it's coming across as very Dominican to me. I told you it reminded me of that Casa Cuba, But on a retrohale, there's a little bit of a burn there. There's a little bit of tingle in the nose that reminds me of Nicaraguan tobacco. So I'm guessing maybe it's a mix of the two, but that's the thing about when we guess a country of origin, it doesn't really mean anything anymore. Everybody's using everybody else's tobacco these days.
Yeah. I'd say that's valid, but there certainly are those kind of peaks that you can get that remind you of something else. I mean, yes, everybody's using everything, but you know.
Yeah, but I guess I was a little bit harsh. It's not that it doesn't mean anything. It's just, yes, everybody's using everybody's tobacco, but the countries of origin still have some things that are built into their blending style, where the Dominican guys may be using some Nicaraguan tobacco, but they're still blending the way Dominican cigars are blended and have been for ages. Generally, certainly that's not, you know, that's the rule, but it's not 100%. And the same for Nicaraguan. A lot of Nicaraguan cigars have some basic things in common with the spice or the tingle in the nose I'm talking about or whatever. It doesn't mean they're not using Honduran or Dominican tobacco. It's just general guidelines, for lack of a better word, general philosophy behind the blending within the community in Nicaragua.
You know, there was when I went to the Dominican Republic for the first time in 2010, I think. It was just after I had been to Nicaragua. Both of these trips were with Colin Ganley, Cigar Tourism. And one of the things that I can distinctly remember talking about after being in those two countries so close to each other was that they had their individual feel. I had at that point always really lined up much more with the Nicaraguan new school. I mean, there's a whole phrase that the new school Nicaraguan flavor. I had lined up with that very much, and most of the cigars that I enjoyed were coming from Nicaragua. But when I went to the Dominican Republic, I fell in love with like that majesty and that tradition, which I'm sure, having never been to Cuba, I'm sure is just a small percentage of what you feel when you're in Cuba and smoking Cuban cigars and going to Cuban factories. To me, that feel defines the style of the blender, as you're saying. And it's not so much a hard and fast rule. It's much more, if you're this type of a person and you enjoy cigars, you're going to probably gravitate to a place where that mindset or that lifestyle or that ideal is embraced. And if you're young, have ink for sleeves and want to do something different, that's a little bit edgier, you're going to go to Esteli. You're not going to go to Jalapa. I'm sorry. You're not going to go to Dan Lee, and you're not going to go to Santiago. You're going to go to Esteli. And if you are somebody who's a fourth generation Cuban cigar maker and, you really respect the traditions of what's going on and you're not looking to be flashy or to reinvent the wheel, you want to make that classic Dominican cigar that's been around for years and years and years, you're going to go to Santiago. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And I think, I don't know. I think that I got distracted by someone saying I look svelte. I think it's just much more the personality of the blender. You know, they are going and making cigars that are in an environment that suits them. And when you're in Esteli, it just plum feels different than the Dominican Republic, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. You want me to tell you something?
This go right ahead.
Kind of jumping off the page here. But when Michael Stewart was down this past January, we went and got a tour of the Flor Dominicana. And while we were there, Antonio, who's Lito Gomez's son, was actually who gave us the tour, which was really cool. He gave us a cigar to smoke while we were there, and it was their newest release. I believe they're newest. I don't recall one since then. The La Volcada. And that cigar was so different from anything I'm familiar with in Dominican blending. It reminded me so much of Nicaraguan cigars. It was very sharp and in your face, and blended to be a little bit aggressive through the nose, that kind of thing. It reminded me of a Nicaraguan cigar. It was wildly different than anything I'm familiar with from La Flor Dominicana, with maybe the exception of the Andalusian Bull that they put out 2 or 3 years ago now, which was wildly successful and hard to even find still today. But it was a fantastic cigar, but outside of the norm for this country.
I have not had the Volcada. I have not had the Volcada.
Just the guys in the chat room, I think, are assuming that means volcano. It doesn't. It means flipped over or overturned.
Oh, really? Huh. Learn something every day. No, but I have a Hawaiian cigar band right here. I was just going to look for my Andalusian Bull. There's my Andalusian Bull band. And there it is. From Mike, my cousin, also. I hate our chat room. Oh, Mike says he has seen some Andalusians tucked away at a humidor he has been working at. That's nice.
There's been some here in town lately. They're very good cigars.
Aren't they like $30 though?
13, 14, something like that.
Oh gosh, I thought they were expensive.
Oh wait. You're talking Chicago prices. Yeah, they're $30.
That's the thing about Chicago prices. They really are $13. You just don't know a guy, so you get charged $30. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That's only the price if you know Frankie. Frankie, yeah, no problem. You got that price.
That's like you go around the little mom and pop spots in Miami. You get a very different price if you're paying in cash.
I had a guy ask for a cash discount today at work.
I can't even tell you how many times I've been into little places in Miami and they want to know how you're paying, because it's going to be quite different if it has to be on the books.
What? A Cuban person being unsavory and maybe trying to break the law? No.
And you can say that because you're of Cuban descent, I suppose.
Yeah, they're filthy animals.
That's Craig at halfashed.com.
Oh, man, I needed this laugh. That's awesome. Ay, ay, ay. Well, I am hoping this cigar transitions a little bit to circle back around. I have to say it's just a little bit different than what I would hope it would be at this point. So we'll see how the final third goes.
I'm sorry, stepping on you there. I'm about to burn a hole out of my mustache if I smoke much more of this, down to like an inch maybe.
Yeah, you're just about the width of a finger there. Smoking well still?
It is. It's lovely. There's not. I'm having what I now imagine to be a much better experience than you. There's no harshness. It's not gotten any kind of ashy taste that commonly comes when you get down to about this length. It's actually very good. The strength is manageable. I'm not feeling any ill effects from nicotine, but the flavor's still there. Flavors have intensified a little bit, and that sweetness is gone. Citrus is gone. It's more almost a charred kind of woodsy flavor to it now, but not any of the negative bitterness that sometimes happens near the end of a cigar.
Damn, I wish I could do a lot of things at once. Oh, well. What was I just going to say? I was just going to say something about this. Oh, one thing that I will say, and it might have an impact on my flavor, is that this cigar was wet for me.
Really?
Yes, but it's my own fault. I kept it in the Ziploc with the Bovita pack in my humidor sealed. So it was in I'm guessing he got this at Casa de Monte Cristo because it came in a Casa de Monte Cristo black zip pack bag with the Bovita in there and only this cigar. So it probably was just getting pumped with humidity. And on top of that, you can squeeze the bejesus out of this cigar right now. And see, I don't know if you can see how much thinner that is now that I'm pushing on it. It is like a sponge here. So I think it's probably my own fault. I should have been a little more cognizant of the storage, but it was just a little bit too wet being the only thing with that humidifier. So I think we should jump right into what else we've been smoking and then get to a pretty quick reveal. Because with you being almost done with this, I don't want to put off your final thoughts before we move into something. So
okay.
I've got a couple things here that I have not had the wherewithal to type yet. So do you have anything you can jump in on?
Actually, I have smoked almost no cigars in the 3 weeks since our last show. I have smoked a boatload of pipe tobacco, though. Hang on a second. I'm going to have to hang on. I have to mute.
Well, while Kip is looking for a couple things, I do have a few cigars that I...
Sorry. I had to sneeze.
Oh, you were sneezing. Oh, how dare you.
Yeah. I managed to mute myself. That's better than I would generally do.
Do you need to collect your thoughts? Because I can get right into mine. I just don't have notes written down yet.
No, I can say next to nothing real quickly. Let's see. I don't remember if I had opened the Presbyterian mix last show or not and talked about it.
Not that I know.
Okay. Good, solid English blend. Old blend, been around for ages. A little bit heavier in Latakia than I remembered, or some Oriental variant. I don't know its exact composition, not digging around a little bit. But it was an older tin. It was 2009-ish, I think. Really good. I actually enjoyed that. I wish I had put more of that aside than I did. I have 8 or 10 tins of it back in Florida, but not a great deal. So I'll probably bring some of that back with me after our stateside visit here in a few weeks. Really enjoyed it. It reminded me a lot of, and hardcore pipe smokers are going to hear this and ridicule me, but it reminded me a lot of what my mixture 965 from Dunhill was 15 years ago. It was middle of the road, quintessential kind of English blend. Very, very good. I really enjoyed it, so much so that I smoked the entire tin, like straight through, just not straight through, bowl after bowl. But generally, I'll have a few tins open and, you know, grab this one or that one or whatever on any given day. But I think I did not smoke anything else but that tin until it was all gone. And I actually may have another one here with me.
Oh, the Presbyterian or something else?
Yeah, the Presbyterian. This one's not open yet, but this is what it looks like. Just the blue. Not going to want to focus. But there we go. Is that backward to you? Or...
Okay. Mm-mm. Perfect.
Good stuff. I dig it. Let's see. A mellow blend of U.S. Virginia tobaccos and high-quality Macedonian grades, or Macedonian grades. Good stuff. I really like that. That is one of those blends that if somebody wants to try an English blend, that's a decent one to try. It was. This is weird. In my memory, and it had been years since I'd opened a tin of this, 2010, that's when these were, my sticker's still in the bottom. I remembered it being a drier blend out of the tin. This one I opened was still pretty moist in the tin, and I had to dry it out to avoid getting my tongue bit from it. Which brings me to the next tin that I opened this week, Bill Bailey's Balkan Blend. This is also, it's decent, and I would still say middle of the road, but I would say that in a less positive way than I did about the Presbyterian Mix. Presbyterian Mix, me saying middle of the road, I mean quintessential. This is a good example of an English blend. This Bill Bailey's Balkan Blend, middle of the road means, it's okay, but I'm not regretting the fact that this is the only tin of it I have. It's not going to be a great loss in my life not to have any more of that. It's okay. It is a little bitey. And the only other pipe tobacco.
A little bitey, but not in the wet tongue bite sense?
No. Just because I'm kind of getting back in the groove of pipe smoking, I've been drying tobacco a little more than normal, trying to head off the possibility of biting. Getting tongue bite from it, because I know if it's a little drier, it's a little less likely to happen and more forgiving, because I have not yet resumed my utter perfection in smoking cadence with a pipe, and there's every chance I'm going to smoke too fast and burn it. So I dry it a little bit more, not too crispy, but a little more than normal, maybe to kind of prevent that. This is the final blend I smoked the past couple of weeks. This is Farmer's Bird's Eye Flake. It's another one. It's a Virginia blend. Don't believe it has anything else in it. Maybe some Perique, but I don't even think that. I think it's just Virginia from somewhere. Another blend, decent, but no great loss if I don't ever buy this again. There's 20 other Virginias that I truly enjoy that I would put in front of it, unless it's good. It's very, very sedated, very nuanced in its flavor. It's one you have to really pay attention to, or you're going to finish a bow and think, I didn't really get much out of that because I was busy doing something else. It's not bold. It's very, very light in flavor. Well, worth trying, but it's probably not going to change your life.
Do you, I mean, you talked about six different tins. Do you typically make note to smoke all of those tins within the next month?
No, mainly because I will end up having enough open. There's no way I'd get through it in a month. That's not the case these days, because I have, since I've resumed with the pipe, I've been opening a tin. I have three open right now, and not much more than that, and I'll smoke through pretty quickly. But if I'm going to have something that's open more than a month, I move it to a jar, because it will just completely dry out in a tin. Once you pop a tin seal, the process starts drying out. And after a few weeks, it's going to just be crispy critters.
Excuse me. Well, if you have rambled off enough of your tobaccos you've been trying, let me get into the two cigars that I wanted to talk about. Boy, this is going to be a heavy episode for my cousin, because the two cigars that I think are pretty fun to talk about are both from him. So he and I had the privilege to purchase the cigars from one of the La Florida Minicana humidors, the decorative humidors that were released a number of years back, 7 or 8 years ago. The basically the replica of the curing barn, I believe. A really, really beautiful piece. But the problem was, is it's, you know, a $1,500 humidor, and we really only wanted the cigars. So we made an offer. We're able to pick those cigars up and split the 50 that came in the that came with it. So I purchased those my 25 La Florida Minicana Airbender Maduros and just got them last week. It was the first time that I had seen Mike since he got these cigars sent to him, so he brought them over to me. I lit one up earlier this week and was just in awe of how rich and strong and aromatic this cigar was. It reminded me of a pipe, not at all in flavor, but in the sense of that room aroma when you go back into the space afterwards was just so unmistakably that. You know, when you smoke a pipe, it takes you seconds to just recognize, okay, somebody is smoking a pipe around here. I can get it. It's one of the most distinct aromas, even more so than cigar tobacco to me. Pardon me. And this La Flor was the exact same situation. Doggone it. These hiccups are going to kill me. go ahead.
Do you remember smoking this as an unbanded?
Smoking what as an unbanded?
The cigar you're talking about right now.
No, did we?
We didn't. It was one of the final unbandeds on Dog Watch. I sent it in. And Bob McDuffie nailed it.
What?
Yeah, he knew exactly what this cigar was.
The Airbender Maduro?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how the heck did he get that?
I don't know, but he got it.
Wow.
And he did not even have the information for what it was. I had kept that. I was going to reveal it on the show, I believe. I don't think I even told Liz.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Did you just pick up a few of these from the Tampa Humidor or something? They were selling cigars.
Actually, I bought them from your neck of the woods, from Jack Schwartz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I bet you paid $80 a cigar.
I did not, because I was not charged the taxes since I was out of state.
Hmm.
Well, I think they were like $9 a piece.
That is a really good price. Holy yeah, cow.
Now, this was however many years ago, six years ago.
Hmm. Wow, that's a pretty good one. So these cigars have at least that much age on them. And I don't know if you have memories of those cigars, but
I do, because it stands as maybe as a close tie with the Andalusian Bull, but it's probably my favorite La Flor Dominicana ever.
Well, I have a number of these, and we're going to do one as a show cigar coming up. I was really, really intrigued by how can you describe a cigar as classy? I mean, it just felt like this was a special humidor release cigar. So the flavors I'm not really going to get into. We can talk about that on the show. But it was just so, I don't know, suave, maybe? It seemed as if the tobacco was perhaps a little bit higher quality. Like everything was just a little bit sharper. Not sharper as in a crisp type flavor, but sharper as in, you know, your the deep, darker, harder flavors were deeper and darker and harder. And then the sweetness that kind of was a counterbalance to that was appropriately proportioned. It was really an enjoyable experience. Now, I will say that it was strong. I had eaten a little something beforehand, and when I set that cigar down at like an hour and 15 minutes after lighting it, I needed to eat something else. It was time. It was definitely time. So one of the things that I'll add here is don't relight the cigar. It absolutely lost that characteristic, that enjoyable, rich, almost overwhelmingly, not overwhelming, as if it overmatched you. Like, I felt as if I wasn't paying enough attention to it. It was one of those cigars that you should sit down and savor, not so much have, like I did, in a truck driving on the highway. So, but very, very good cigar. Sure. I am looking forward to the rest of those.
Excelente.
Do you have any cigars you want to talk about, or you want me to get into the next one?
No, I only smoked one noteworthy cigar this week, and I'm not allowed to talk about it on the air.
Okay.
I can tell you after we're done.
Good for you. Well, the next cigar that I will talk about is a cigar I don't really have a name for, but I think I know what it used to be called. So this is now the cigar. What I'm talking about is the cigar that my father gives as their event cigars or their show cigars. It has the kind of the gold flashy band with an S on it. I believe that that cigar used to be the My Father Centurion. But it used to have a C on the band as well instead of the S. So
didn't they have one, an event cigar that predated the Centurion con the special S?
Oh, maybe.
I think they did.
Well, then, I am certainly no expert at that, but I don't know, man. I really, really appreciated how this cigar brought a sweet bready flavor, like a sweet yeasty flavor to the table. And it's the only thing that I can think of from my father that does that. It was really good. It was not strong. It fared very well with just drinking it with water. Burned spectacularly. And it was, overall, the cigar trended towards the sweet side of the spectrum. And I really, really dug it. Like, it was a cigar that I just kind of thought it was going to be good. You know, I had had some in the past, but I had never really concentrated on it to try to figure it out and get into what the cigar offered. And I am sure glad that I did this time. It was really, really surprising. I expect good cigars from my father. I don't expect cigars that are characteristically sweet as their number one trait, really. Good gracious. I don't know if our chat room's talking about me, but I hate them if they are.
Yeah, that's all you, man.
Ay. All right. So that's what I've got going on. That's what I've smoked that I thought was worthwhile. I had another old Tatuaje, the Tatuaje Reserve. Tatuaje, I think that's what it's called. The tiny little cigarillos.
Like a black secondary band on it?
No, no band.
No band, okay.
No band.
Like a Noella or something like that?
Smaller. No, this is one I talked about on our last recording that I said was maybe two recordings ago. The best Reserva that I had ever had from Tat. That's what this was. But I think it's just called the Petite Reserva or the Petite Tatuaje Reserva, something like that. Gotcha. But it's just the normal Reserva from the Cazadores line, but it has no band on it.
Okay.
Those were very good as well. So, oh, Petite Reserva. Somebody says it. There you go. So that's where I'm at.
Well, you can see where I'm at. I got like half an inch left of this.
Holy crap. That is a half an inch.
Put it down because it's burning my fingers.
It is shorter than it is long at that point.
Yeah. Shorter than it is long. You mean wider than it is long?
I'm just testing you, Kip. Good for you.
You know I can't think straight. I blame the tumor.
So let's wrap up this cigar.
I only put this down even at this length because it was it's not because the cigar is getting too hot, it's because the fire's too close to my hand. I mean, you're basically handling it on the burn line all the time at this point. But the cigar finished as good as any cigar I probably ever had. I mean, it never ever built up that harshness. I really, really grooved on it. I can't say that a whole lot changed since the last time we talked about it. It kept that nutty, woodsy, leathery kind of profile to the end. I really dug it. I don't know what it is. I mean, it tastes like it's Dominican to me, but with maybe something in there, maybe a little Nicaraguan something or another or something else, but there's that still, it maintained that little bit of a tingle through the nose, more so than I typically associate with most Dominican cigars outside of the aforementioned La Flor Dominicanas, and even the Casa Cuba has a little bit of that in it too. But so if I have to guess an origin, I'm going to say Dominican tentatively.
Yeah, I'm a little less with you on Dominican Republic. I think that this is a blend. I don't think that this is a puro. I'm probably going to say that I know that there was citrus and that there was some of the floral in there in the blend. I mean, it intermingled with what I am assuming this blend was when it was, when I was initially lighting it. But it just took over and it went a different direction. I think, having said that though, that some of this that, you know, before it really blossomed, into just being so dominantly citrus and floral for me, I think some of that is a little more reminiscent to what I've gotten out of cigars from the Dominican Republic. Some of those characteristics. You mentioned the Casa Cuba, and some of the Fuente type citrus flavors that have come across. So I'm gonna say that it.
Well, the thing is with me, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the thing is with me mentioning the Fuente, both of the cigars that I had reminiscences of while smoking this one that were Fuentes were not at all part of the regular production. They were things that are outside their normal range that they do. So that kind of throws a little bit of a kink into it too.
Well, okay. Oh, I missed the whole insults in the chat room. Thanks, boys. I appreciate that. I mean, I don't have near the working knowledge of Fuente products that you do to say that.
Yeah, the guy who hasn't bought Fuentes, but you know, a handful in the past 3 years.
I don't know about you, but nothing says that you forget what you learned. Well, no, it is you. You do forget what you learned. Never mind.
I blame the tumor.
I just think that that this is probably something that that is from a big name. It's probably gonna have a Dominican root to it. That's what I'm leaning towards. And it's
there's a hint in the chat room now.
Well, what's the hint?
Michael says he's looking forward to the guesses. This is a cigar he wanted to get a hold of when he first started smoking cigars, but he never found it and moved away from the brand as time went on, but was happy to find an original box some 10-ish years later. So it is an older cigar. I mean, it's an older mark.
That's interesting.
That is, because that predates. Yeah, I'm clueless now.
Yeah, I'm real damn clueless.
If this particular cigar is that old and still had the punch in the nose, not strong, but enough of a punch that I noticed it, that changes things.
Well, that is very interesting, because Mike also added that he relates to the flavors that I started with.
Sidman said, "Cabe guan guapos." This better not be that.
If this is a cabe guan, I'm out. Half ashed will become quarter ashed. So I'm gonna probably have to not venture a guess on this one.
You know, if you just guess that cabe guan every time, there's like a 10% chance you're gonna nail it.
Let's open her up and put ourselves out of our misery. But I unfortunately don't have anything really. Well, I just tore the corner. It's not open fully. In the beginning, I was talking about Nicaragua with this. And I mentioned or DC mentioned Cane Daytona, and it had some things in common with those cigars. So 10-year-old from Nicaragua, I think he's been more than generous with hints, and I can't really venture very much on one. So let's open away, unless that jars anything for you.
No, it doesn't jar anything for me, but it makes me lean a little more toward Nicaragua than the Dominican Republic if it's got that kind of age on it.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, 10 years ago, cigars that somebody would have been really interested in probably would have been Tatuaje. I mean, that was the height of – that was the start of the monsters, really.
Yeah, but this didn't really make me think Tatuaje at any point.
No, it didn't, but that was still Tropical. That yeah. wasn't my father factory.
It's true.
So it's a little bit different from today. That's real damn interesting. I don't know. Let's open her up. Okay. Oh, a whole printout and everything. Oh, look at that.
Yes.
Can you read that?
I can. Holy crap.
It is the CAO Vision from March of 2007.
Wow. So that's before they sold out to General, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, it definitely was. That was the height of the hype machine.
That was the illuminated
box. The light up box. Yeah. The box with LED lights.
Oh, wow.
So this is an all Dominican cigar.
That was when CAO was worth a crap.
Yeah, that was the tail end of their good cigars.
It was, you know, I really liked the brand, and I have been critical of General. I have eaten crow over General putting out cigars that impressed me. But the thing with CAO was like flipping a light switch for me from like within weeks of that sale happening. Something either in my head or in the cigars changed, and there was nothing they could do that made me happy anymore.
So this being the cigar and what Mike said in the chat room should tell you exactly how old he is. Because the box would light up and have flashing neon lights with it. And he said that when he first got into cigars, this was one that he thought was really cool. Ah. So that would make you guess that perhaps his age was like 20 and he was right mid height of all of our gaudiness. So,
you know, I'm thinking back, the last CAO that I liked, really, reliably enjoyed, was the Criollo 98. And when they first came out, they had the coolest box. And it did not have lights in it, but it was it was kind of like this. It was a tall box rather than being like two layers. It was a box of drawers, like little drawers in it. And each drawer had four or five cigars, and there were several in there. And little cabinetry, little cabinet doors on the front. It was a neat box, but the cigars were really good.
Yeah, I liked a lot of the early CAOs. I loved the Brasilia, the CAO Cameroon, that really funky press to it. I think that was a Figurado that was like major box pressed. A lot of good cigars came from CAO back in the aughts.
You know, Cano died this past week.
Yes, he did. Away. I saw that on Twitter on Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's 80, early 80s, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, before we get off the line, I have a cool story about CAO, but it has nothing to do with their cigars. I bought CAO, for those who don't know, before long, decades before they were a cigar company, they
pipe tobacco.
They imported pipes. They had some pipe tobaccos too, even up until recent history, had some pipe tobaccos made for them. But they imported and distributed meerschaum pipes from Turkey. And I bought a CAO meerschaum. And the way these things are made, they have an acrylic shank extension, an acrylic stem, and a Delrin tenon that connects the two. And I don't remember if it was something I did or just some flaw. Whatever the case was, the tenon got a crack in it. And so I remember it was not a matter of a warranty. It was me sitting there with a broken pipe. So I wrote them a little note and said, "Hey, I broke the tenon on this pipe. I'm not looking for a claim. I would like to buy another one of these tenons because they just screw out and you can replace them." And the lady I talked to just said, "Give me your address," and sent me like a whole pack of the things. And so it was cool. It was nice to salvage a pipe for nothing from somebody that didn't have to care. They could have just wrote it off because it was not their fault. It was my fault, I'm sure.
It's I have a pretty strong memory with CAO and their pipes as well. Well, and before I get into their pipes, we can all remember, I'm sure, the CAO Millennium and the CAO Odyssey. Those were two phenomenal cigars from 99 and 2000.
Slagle gave me an Odyssey a lot of years ago, and I smoked it about the time we moved down here, and it was still a fantastic cigar.
Hell yeah, they were. Yeah, those were real good. Well, my memory or my thoughts on CAO and cigars and pipes were the first pipe tobacco I think I ever really, really started enjoying was Old Ironsides.
Oh, wow.
Which was a CAO. Old Ironsides and then like Foggy Night or Misty Night or Misty Morning, something like that. Those two CAO tins were what really made me start to enjoy pipe smoking. That had to be 1999, 2000 maybe.
Yeah, so it's been a long time. Yeah, I think they mostly got out of the business. They went off the market and came back on, changed blenders a couple of times. And I think there's still some existence of CAO pipe tobacco today, but it's only like their aromatic lines that are like those flavored cigars they make, the Moon Trace and Eileen's Dream, those guys.
Yeah. Old Ironsides. That's a tobacco that I bet I would open up a tin and get transported back to the millennium. Well, that was a fun one, man.
That shocked
the heck out of me.
It did, and it's been a long time since I smoked that cigar, but it was a good cigar. I mean, it's not common that I smoke something down literally to half inch.
Yeah, I can't even remember the last cigar that I did. Oh, my Mike is reminding me that at my wedding, people, my sister actually, I think, passed around CAO flavored cigars. She loved the Eileen's Dream. And what was the orange dreamsicle one?
I don't know.
Moon Trance, somebody put in there. Or Mike also put in there. And there you go. Huh.
Gosh, you know, I don't remember that. Bill Bailey's Balkan Blend that I mentioned earlier, this pipe tobacco,
yeah,
it is a Dan Tobacco product, which is who makes the CAO or made the CAO blends.
Huh. Oh, small world. Boy, it all comes back together. This is an appropriate cigar for us to have tonight.
Yeah. Midnight Ride. That was the one I liked from them. I was digging for a list here. I couldn't remember what it was called.
Do you have a picture of that?
Let's see. It's a really crappy small picture. I can try to turn the camera here. You see that?
Yeah, that might be. Yeah. That might be one of the ones I was thinking of. Although I swear it was like somebody walking away in like an old bluish, rainy, foggy picture is what I was thinking. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good times. That was a good trip down memory lane here. Thanks, Mike. It's a good cigar.
Absolutely.
Never thought I'd say the CAO Vision was a good cigar, but... Oh, you know what? I didn't even share the information about it. So, the wrapper was Dominican Osa?
Wait. OSA?
Yeah.
Like Olancho San Agustin in Honduras?
There you go. I know what you know.
The CAO, what's it called?
CAO what?
OSA. OSA.
Oh, yeah.
It was from Honduras, the OSA was.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe they grow it somewhere else too, I reckon.
Well, Dominican OSA. Binder being Dominican Corojo, and the filler is Dominican Olor. You know what? That Olor tobacco, oh, this is not a puro, now that I read the rest of this, that Olor tobacco might be what absolutely went ape crazy in my cigar. That had a lot of flavor similarities to Olor. I find that Olor can get that way a lot.
Hmm.
Huh. That's pretty interesting now that I read this. And then the filler has the Dominican Olor, Brazilian and Nicaraguan tobacco in there. It was rolled at the La Aurora factory, and it is the first CAO to be rolled in the Dominican Republic.
Hmm.
So there you go. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, that was a fun one. So thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
Cool.
All right. Shall we close ourselves out here this evening?
Absolutely.
Do it.
Well, as we wind this down, we certainly appreciate everybody checking in, whether you're here with us tonight, ridiculing us in the chat room, or ridiculing us in your mind somewhere down the road while you're listening. And if you come back around for episode 182, we will be smoking something as yet to be determined. I think it's your turn this time. And
okay.
In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us, you can get us by email to craig@halfashed.com or kip@halfashed.com. And you can find us on all the typical social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, of course, our own little corner of the internet on the forum at halfashed.com.
So there's a pretty valid question in the chat room here. Are we going to continue shows when you are traveling next month?
We are going to try. And I believe that should not be a problem. Christy, like I mentioned, will be continuing her studies, so she has to take her laptop with her. So I should be equipped.
Cool. Well, until then, let's hope to reschedule for 2 weeks from now, which I think is the 29th and 30th, something like that.
Yeah.
Will that work for you? Aren't you just arriving?
Yeah, I was trying to think that we will be rolling into town right around that time in Florida. We may have to play that by ear.
All right. That's a good reason for everybody to head to the forum. We'll put something up on there. How's that?
Cool.
All righty. Well, I want to say thank you wholeheartedly to Mike. Buddy, this one was really fun. It was fun seeing you in the chat room. It was fun having you hang out with some of our buddies there, and for going through this cigar and absolutely blindsiding us with what it was. So that was great. Thank you, man. And everybody else who is listening on the recording, not live with us, just want to say good night, everybody. And with the most sincerity as I can muster, thank you for listening.